Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Put Your Foot On It podcast. With me, Jack Guthrie, we have Lewis Blackmore.
Hello, everyone.
We've got Sam Clark.
Hello there.
Luis Costa.
Hello, everyone.
And Harrison Lane.
All right.
Today, we're going to be talking about the PFA Player of the Year nominee, the winner, and also the Team of the Year that was announced, as well as also the Writers' Awards. Then we'll go on to some championship controversy with Leeds versus Aston Villa, also with the payments at Bolton, the players not being paid since January, and then we'll go on and do a Champions League preview. So, the Player of the Year turned out to be Virgil van Dijk. What do we all think of that, guys?
I agree with that decision. He's been outstanding. It's nice to get a defender winning it again. I think it was like the first one since 2005.
Yeah, I think it was John Terry, wasn't it? Yeah.
So I think it's good. I mean, Sterling was up there, and even a couple of other City players like Bernardo Silva and stuff were up there, but I think van Dijk definitely deserves it because he's changed Liverpool more than, I'd say, Sterling's changed City.
Oh, 100%. Liverpool's defence without van Dijk was genuinely just awful.
It was awful.
They couldn't defend, and they had the self-proclaimed world's best defender Lovren, who looks like he can't hardly kick a ball.
Yeah,
so
fair enough.
He's been injured.
I think the good thing about Van Dijk as well is because Alisson's been brought in as well, so they've got security from the keeper because obviously Karius last season was a bit of a joke, and then they've got Van Dijk as well who provides more protection.
Oh, he's properly shored up that defence. I mean, you know, you already had Van Dijk. You already had Robertson and Trent there. But yeah, then he's just assured the back line even further.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah, I'd agree as well.
I don't agree. I don't think Van Dijk should have won Player of the Year. Yeah. I think Sterling should have won it.
Me
just
too.
Because he's had an absolute blinder of a season. Yes, okay, Van Dijk also has. And Liverpool have the best defensive record in the league. But I just think Sterling's done more for Man City this year.
Got them out of bad situations like scoring winners and stuff, I suppose.
Especially towards the start of the season.
Yeah. I mean, I think one reason Van Dijk may have got it is that people always go on about the fact defenders don't win awards.
Yeah.
That might be something that maybe swayed it a little.
So there had to be a reaction to that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, but let's not forget this is voted by the players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very true.
It just goes to show that players concede that he is that good.
He's a threat to them, basically, aren't they? Because it's going to be a majority, probably strikers, saying that he's been the best.
By far, the biggest defensive threat in the league.
I mean, from an English point of view, it would be good if Sterling did win it. But Van Dijk, I think, is still a worthy winner.
I mean, Sterling was definitely up there. That's for sure. You know, I mean, a lot of people were saying Sterling. And I don't know how the votes actually ended up, but it must have been fairly close.
Yeah, it must have been. I mean, it was only going to be between those two. Out of the nominations, no one else has stood out so much for their team individually other than those two.
Yeah,
exactly. Hazard has, but because of our league position, how Chelsea's been as a whole,
technically, if you go on attacking stats,
Hazard's had a better season has been the best, or the joint best.
Yeah,
most goal contributions this year.
Yeah.
But a good point is as well, Sterling's really young, so he won the Young PFA Player of the Award.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a strange one, that one. But, I mean, I suppose they had to award him somehow.
Yeah, exactly. At least he got an award. Yeah. But
some recognition, you know. Nah.
But I thought definitely should not have got the Young Player of the
Award.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it should have been David Brooks. 100% David Brooks.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a really great shout.
You don't care what anyone says. Sterling winning Young Player of the Year is an absolute joke. The award states you've got to be 23
or under. It's not the fact he's won it. It's the fact that
his age.
Yeah, I think that's a massive factor.
But
really,
the reason he's 24, but it was when they turned 24 that's the issue. Like,
I guess 23 is old now. I mean, you've got players like, if you look at go abroad, you've got Mbappe. I mean, 18 years old, 19 years old. That's a young player.
I think he's 20 now.
I think he's 20.
Okay. Once you go over the age
catch
of 20,
catch up with the program.
Once you get over 20, you're not a young player anymore.
22.
I think the mark is 23, isn't it? Around that sort of age.
It should be. I mean, I just don't think Sterling should have won it. Yeah, I mean, he was the second choice for Player of the Year, but he shouldn't even have been a nomination for Young Player of the Year. I don't think you should get. I don't think you should get a vote for both. I think they should do six.
Yeah,
for
but that's
one,
why
six
you have
other.
Nominations, isn't it? Because else you might be stuck with people that don't really deserve it.
It's just like,
because not that he doesn't deserve it, it's just people think that the age bracket on.
Oh, 100%, he deserves it.
That's the main issue.
Out of those young players, Sterling was the best.
He was the best, but, and I think that's what the other players have gone off.
Yeah,
definitely. But if you removed Sterling and Silva, who are the two technically older ones, David Brooks would have to win.
I think this is just like Mbappe and the Ballon d'Or and the Junior Ballon d'Or, that under 23 Ballon d'Or thingy.
Yeah.
He was nominated for both. He obviously wasn't going to win the Ballon d'Or, so they gave him the under 23 one. He still came third or fourth.
Yeah, something like that.
Main Ballon d'Or, but it's just someone like that. But obviously Mbappe is... It's 20, so it's not much issue to have.
Yeah, isn't he now like the first person to reach like 90 league goals since R9 Ronaldo?
30, back, yeah, 30. Yeah, something mental like that.
30,
isn't it,
was it?
Yeah, 30, yeah.
But he's got like nearly 100 goals for club, I mean, and country, like, and say, he's 20.
Yeah. Dusan Tadic has got 30 goals this season, so.
Yes, but.
Just like chuck that.
Thanks
out
for
there.
That, yeah.
Yeah. He's been in
the age difference. Big one.
Maybe he should have won Young Player Award.
With Sterling's in there for being there.
So what about the Writers' Award?
Well, the Writers' Award, Sterling did win that. And I think that makes more sense because, you know, the writers aren't actually coming up against Van Dijk week in, week out.
Funny, the journalists have managed to get it right, you know. Yeah. Yeah, I found that quite funny, really. You know,
it's a bit annoying that we didn't
proud.
Get a call to kind of have a vote.
I mean, it's a joke. I mean, PFA, if you're listening, you know, we're not happy, to be honest.
I mean, the Writers' Award, it makes sense in the fact that if you watch football, you don't watch it to see how well someone defends. You like to see goals.
Like, yeah. I've said, though, I think you've got to be like sort of outside of the game. You know, like obviously with PFA, they're
all in the game, and
yeah, they're all in the game.
There might be some bias, or I don't know.
Yeah, there could be a sense of someone going, "Oh, if you vote for me, I'll vote for you."
I mean,
yeah,
and still,
sort of
most writers have seen some of these players week in, week out, reporting on them, you know.
Am I right saying that Van Dijk or Sterling, one of them voted for the other, right?
I believe so, yeah. I think
so. Didn't Sterling vote for Van Dijk?
He voted for Kane.
Yes.
Oh, and yeah. So, I mean, it just goes to show that it is a bit opposite way around. I thought they would have voted for each other, but at least one of them voted for the other.
I suppose they don't have to tell anyone that, though, really, I suppose.
No. But fair play for coming out and saying who did vote for.
Yeah, true.
They're supposed to
keep
it to themselves.
They've done for the publicity, be like, oh,
yeah.
I voted for him,
yeah,
and then he looks
yeah.
good in the
I
media,
mean, obviously,
so.
Yeah, but...
But to be fair, with the Writers' Award and stuff as well, like, you have to praise Sterling for the way he's acted outside of the game as well as
I think that's
the game
also
season.
Been a reason why he's won the Writers, but not necessarily the Players.
Yeah.
Because I think they've just gone off the performance with the Players' ones, yeah. whereas everything he's done outside
he's acted
of the
so
performance.
I mean,
this
weekend he also got a Racism Recognition Award.
Yeah,
I
saw
that. Yeah, I saw that.
For his play in what has happened with the whole racism thing at Montenegro. But
yeah.
Not just that. The
but I mean,
no,
all the things that he's done this
targeted.
Year, he's one of the top footballers in the game. Just like his charity work, him looking after children in hospital, it's a big step he's made. He's reached that age now where he's suddenly...
At a young age of 24.
Where he's grown up and he is taking control of what he does with his career, which is nice to see.
But the thing is, even when he was coming up from Liverpool to Man City and stuff, he wasn't necessarily... He wasn't a bad person, but the media
he
made
got
him into a bad
absolutely
person.
Absolutely slashed
yeah.
I cannot,
the media.
I cannot believe... 10 days before the World Cup started, the media was talking about Sterling's AK-47
yeah,
tattoo.
Oh yeah, I remember
that.
That was
stupid. But the difference the media have is the way they slew Sterling, but the way they big up Phil Foden, it literally does go down to skin colour. Because Foden done the same thing as Sterling. Sterling bought his mum a house for a lot of money, and Foden done the same thing.
But
Sterling got caught for showing off, whereas Foden it was good.
And Rashford.
The media always try and perceive these things in like different ways.
There's
something
about another City player, I think, is that Torsen Aradebayo or something.
Yeah,
He bought his mum a house or something, and the media are like, oh, that's really good, really good. And then Sterling does it, and he just gets so much crap. Like,
they just
have something against him, don't they?
Yeah.
He's
dealt with it so well. He's not done anything wrongly, in my opinion. I think he's done well.
He
spoke about
it. That's probably pushed him to progress the way
he
has, to be honest.
Is amazing.
And I think that's
he's
not saying that's justified, but you know.
English media.
And I think his performances on the pitch has also showed him just trying to prove the doubters wrong.
Yeah, that's it.
There's a guy that when Guardiola came to City, he was not up to his standard, and Guardiola literally changed him and made him the player he is now.
Especially
his finishing.
His best goal scoring season ever, right?
Yeah, I mean, in the course of a season, you've just seen
best
a player
goal
change.
Contribution season ever.
Yeah,
well.
I think it is. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, to show how good Sterling has got this season, he has more goals and assists this season than Jesse Lingard has in his career. That is how good of a season Raheem Sterling's having. But again, Lingard is still touted as a young player. This season, he's the fourth most senior player in the Man United squad.
But that also shows how the game's progressing, doesn't it, I think, with all these young players coming through the team, getting younger. So, like, sometimes it's hard to base your facts and opinions on that, but I get what you're saying as well. Yeah. Like, it's just mad to see how it's going. Like,
I mean, as the token Man United fan of the podcast, I was having to say that Sterling being 2 years younger than Lingard and Lingard having more league, like, under his belt, it's just weird to see how well Sterling... No, like, as in how many times he's played... He's played more seasons than Sterling. Like, all over, like, yeah, he has. Like, Championship, Premier League.
Oh, Championship. Oh,
yeah, right. Like, as all in right. all the seasons all he's played.
Harrison, you said Premier League, mate. Get your facts right.
All right,
so we'll move on to the actual team of the year.
Yeah, the team of the year was, it was an interesting one.
I mean, I think a bit controversial, to be honest.
Yeah, if we just refresh...
Some of the inclusions, let's be honest.
Yeah, if we refresh your memory, so we had Edison with a defence of Robertson, Laporte, Van Dijk, Alexander-Arnold, a midfield of Pogba, Fernandinho, Bernardo Silva, and a front three of Mane, Aguero, and Sterling. Now, one question I think would be a good one to start off is... why on earth is Pogba in this team?
He scored penalties in January, do you not remember?
Where's Hazard?
Was that it?
He scored 4 penalties.
I mean, that must be the reason.
I mean, Pogba did score the first penalty goal of the season.
Hasn't he missed quite a few pens as well?
Does it not make any sense, though? They've put 5 out of the 6 nominations in. Why have they left Hazard out of it? I know you've got to go by formation. I know we had a discussion about this before. And I did look it up. You do have to go by formation. And obviously, with 2 wingers in there already, Hazard... can't be stuck in there. I mean, you could have put him in there as a cam.
But Bernardo Silva's
it's
there.
It's strange how he's not in there when Pogba was even nominated for the PFA Player of the Year award. Was he in that?
No, it doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't make sense. Well, another thing is, Hazard and Salah both have more goal contributions than Mane. But
Sterling.
Mane's been put in.
Mane's overall game has been...
I think Sterling...
Sterling has more like goals scored, but goal contributions-wise, Hazard and Salah have had brilliant seasons. Like, I believe Salah now...
Salah's the top scorer now, isn't he?
Salah's top goal scorer. And, I mean, this is a bad season for Salah because of how well he played last year.
I just don't think you can judge a player on that, though, because, I mean, I'd say that's consistency, to be honest. But I know a lot of people wouldn't because he hasn't hit 30 goals this year.
But I just don't understand it. Gets that credibility is Harry Kane, who is still touted as a one-season wonder. I think this would be 4 years in a row, he's got 20 plus goals.
Yeah.
And he's been out injured.
I just don't think you can take Aguero out of that team, though, with his amount of goals and his overall play for City this year, you know? Especially if they go on to win the title as well.
So obviously, Pogba being like the noticeable like person that's been involved in it, but would there be anyone else that's.
I'd say Edison. I wouldn't have Edison as the keeper. No.
No way.
Would you not?
No. I wouldn't even have Allison. Though Allison has been good.
I wouldn't have Allison either.
I don't understand
I'd have Ben Foster.
Yes.
Clark, Ben Foster.
Ben Foster.
Also, I'm saying Lucas Fabianski.
That's another good
shout. Neil Etheridge.
Roy Patricio.
You can't say Neil Etheridge. Harrison, come on, mate.
No. I'd say Roy Patricio.
He's been a good penalty stopper.
Yeah.
But that's it.
But that's it.
I don't think there's any top six goalkeeper has performed well this year because obviously Edison and Alisson have performed well. They've got really good defenses. The best top six goalkeeper this year would be Lloris.
Hang on.
Token Rui Patricio.
Lloris.
Yeah, I'd say Rui Patricio as well.
Wolves as a whole have had a quality season.
They've been brilliant.
And that's another reason as well. In that midfield, there could be either Neves.
Moutinho,
they could have even taken over Pogba's place on the team.
Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, I personally think that Doherty could have had a shout in there.
Definitely. I don't agree with Alexander-Arnold.
I don't. He's been injured for a lot of the season.
I think Wan-Bissaka should be there. I mean, he's still got what's the tackle rate he's got? 90-something%? Yeah. I know it's Alexander-Arnold because Liverpool were really up there,
he's been very impactful.
Wan-Bissaka's standing out in Crystal Palace team.
Arnold's been getting assists and stuff, but Doherty's been making game-changing goals.
He's been
scoring goals, setting up goals, and his work rate down that wing. He had a good chance.
I think either of those two, definitely.
In that team, the only two people that can cement themselves in that team Of three, sorry, is Van Dijk, Sterling, and Aguero. Every other position could
Robertson?
Have been changed.
I think Robertson deserves to say so as well.
Possibly Robertson.
There's been no other better left back, I don't think, really.
No.
I mean, there's
Marcus Alonso.
Well, I think another shout there may have been Digne, Everton, but I'm not so sure on that, to be honest. But
then he's been good at times.
If he was involved, then that would be another Pogba situation. He's had a couple of good games in a row.
I mean, that game against Man United, I mean, that was a stand-up performance for him, to be fair, but... Consistency, you've got to say Robertson.
Left back wise, Robertson's the best left back in the league.
Yeah, just for consistency.
I don't think there are any left backs that have really had amazing seasons. I mean, Luke Shaw, since Solskjaer took over,
he's not been amazing.
But he's still been probably the best United player since he took over. Alonso, no. I don't even know who's the first choice left back for Arsenal now.
Kolasinac.
It's because they've had so many injuries, though, haven't they?
Tottenham, Rose had a good season, but again. He's been switching out with Davis. Yeah.
But Robertson there, his overall game, you know.
Yeah, Robertson, like, definitely.
Yeah.
But, I'm glad to see I'm glad to see Fernandinho in there, actually, because I think he's had a great season.
He's been brilliant.
I mean, we've mentioned him a few times on here, actually.
A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that I would have liked him to have won Player of the Year.
He's had a few injury problems, which have
He's getting to that age now. I think he's 33. I don't know if he'll have many more seasons.
He could have won Young Player, though.
Oh, he could have done.
But I was watching the Premier League show the other day, and they sort of chose their different team of the year, if it was...
Their picks,
I've seen
and
that.
And someone chose Fabian Schär as their centre-back.
Yeah, he's done very well.
He's goal-scoring as well.
I think with that, people are choosing some of these... in terms of how they've performed for the club that they're at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I mean, Liverpool and City. I know you mentioned the Neil Etheridge thing, but in my opinion, he's only saved a few penalties and he's not actually been very good.
Yeah.
But like Fabian Schär, he's been defending well for Newcastle and sort of keeping him in games and scoring winners and stuff. So there are other players that could win it, but it's just because of the teams that are at, isn't it?
Player of the Year, that when it gets voted in by PFA, does just go down to who plays in the top six. It is, because every single player was Liverpool, Man United.
But usually the top six do have the best players anyway.
I mean, you can see that. You know, they're obviously favouring towards Liverpool and City with the weird inclusion of Pogba, however.
It'd be weird if they didn't focus it on that because
they're
the top performers, aren't they?
Yeah. If we went by the same formation as they've done, who would everyone put in their team?
What, the whole 11?
Yeah.
I would have done a team for the North. Teams in the North and a team of the year for teams in the South, and then there will be no controversy.
Would there not? There you go. No. In the East.
I mean, if it's North, it's the same team.
Yeah,
literally is.
To be fair, it is.
Manchester and Liverpool, isn't it?
And Pogba.
The main change I'd make is the Pogba one, but other than that, I'm pretty happy with it. Really, like you can't have many complaints.
No.
You can see where they're coming from.
Who got
to be
the second centre back choice?
Look, I'm Eric Laporte.
Nah, no chance.
No, I reckon... Yeah, no, he's been good this season.
He's good with his feet as well, isn't he? And he's been starting over John Stones, and John Stones had a quality World Cup. Getting the decision... Yeah, I'd
say Laporte deserves to be in that team.
So many players you need to... You've got to rotate.
But if you're saying not Laporte, who would you go for then?
Otamendi.
He hasn't played anything.
He's hardly
been
made.
I wouldn't play Otamendi over
Laporte. By that logic, you'd just keep Laporte in there, to be honest. Yeah. If you're just going to remain at City, then I think
If I had to move out the top six to have a centre-back partner for Van Dijk, I'd go Bolly.
That's a good shout.
That's actually a very good
shout. I actually think I prefer Cody to Bolly, only because Cody shows a bit more, like...
He's quite versatile in his play. He plays centre-back, midfield.
If we move back to Pogba, I'd have put Doucouré in there.
Or Ruben Neves.
I'd probably go Doucouré as well. That's a good shout.
Doucouré has been very good.
I mean, Doucouré is wanted by teams like PSG. He clearly is a really good footballer.
Let's not forget PSG was chasing Gay from Everton.
Yeah, but he's had a really good season. I know Everton
hasn't been playing.
When he plays, Everton play a lot better.
But he hasn't been playing much this season. Why? PSG are an odd club. Sorry, I have to add it. PSG are odd.
I think there's a bit of a controversialness going on between Harrison and Luis today.
Yeah. Talking about controversy, let's move on. Oh, do you like that?
Ooh, segue. Do you know what? That was nice. I like that.
How you turn it, baby?
Yes, mate. Right, we're going to move into the Championship now, where arguably the weirdest thing that I've ever seen in football happened. Leeds versus Aston Villa. So it was. Did Aston Villa go a goal up?
No.
Oh no. Leeds went up.
Leeds took the lead.
So what happened was I was watching the game. So we'll go.
Well, were you there or on TV?
Yeah, no, I was watching it on TV.
I was the ref in that game.
So what it was, about 10 minutes before the official incident, an Aston Villa player injured a Leeds player and Aston Villa kicked the ball out. Sportsmanship, very good. 10 minutes later, John Codger goes down with a really serious looking injury. And he had to go off. Yeah, he had to go off and everything. So,
but was it a head injury?
No. This is what we'll come to. What happens is, in football, you don't have to kick the ball out unless it's a head injury. But Leeds stopped with the ball at their feet.
Did they fully stop?
Yeah, no. He looked like he was going to kick the ball out.
And then he just passed down the line.
The other player runs up the line and scores.
So then Mateusz Klich goes on and scores a goal. And then all of a sudden, everyone just loses their shit.
Descends into chaos. So
Aston Villa are full of thugs.
Conor Hourihan, Tyrone Mings, and...
used to play for Plymouth.
Amel Ghazi. Man, that was absolutely mental.
Hourihan used to play for Plymouth, yeah.
He used to be the captain of Plymouth.
Jeez.
Shout out.
Facts.
In my opinion, it's just down to sportsmanship. Like, Leeds would have done nothing wrong if they didn't slow down, like you said. If they didn't slow down, they would have done nothing wrong, really, because they haven't faked it or anything.
I would have done what they did.
They should have. They should, in terms of sportsmanship and what they what Aston would have done before, they should have just knocked it out.
They should have.
Because it's clearly been like set up. That would have prevented all of this, wouldn't it? Yeah, it's clearly been set up by, you know, Villa's already established that they're willing to do that, so yeah. Leeds should, you know, provide the same courtesy, really.
Like that, where if Leeds won, they will still have a chance of fighting for automatic promotion.
If they didn't draw, Sheffield United wouldn't have gone up automatically.
No. They would have been more than likely to go up, but they would have been like another game or two, I think, wasn't it?
So we have to mention Marcelo Bielsa,
in the heat of the moment, Bielsa saying to his players to concede a goal.
Or not.
Like that. Because of that. That is mad sportsmanship.
He had a conversation with Dean Smith, though.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
The managers had a conversation. He was there, like, you got to do it. And then he was like, all right, okay, then I'll give it.
Leeds
player wanted it to happen. There was still that guy.
Pontus Janssen.
There you go. Pontus Janssen.
That led to another incident.
Oh, fuck God.
That was another incident, though. After, like, every single Leeds player, apart from Janssen, was going to let the goal go in.
He still tried to tackle him.
That's mental.
Albert Adoma? Yeah. And then all of a sudden they then went head to head and they started pushing each other. But I mean, if we're talking about the controversy, about the red card.
That shouldn't have been a red card.
That was I think it should be overturned.
Have you seen the actual video? Yeah. Bamford makes a meal of it.
Bamford get the red card.
Yeah, it should be overturned and switched to Bamford. I mean, literally, El Ghazi doesn't even touch him.
I think it should have just all been yellows. Like the others just because got yellows.
Yeah, it's all bad enough.
Aston Villa should get a red card though.
They were as bad as each other. So
has anyone seen the clip of Conor Hourihan uppercutting Mateusz Klich into the stomach? While the El Ghazi thing is going on, there's another footage of Hourihan grabs hold of Klich and punches him in the
all
stomach.
All sorts of shithousery went down in this game.
So I think any player who struck another player in that confrontation should get at least a one-game ban.
There'll probably be some retrospective
action. I think it'll be more of a team fine.
Yeah.
I mean, both clubs are going to get fined.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, there should have been... the person shouldn't have got a red card, but then there were probably other incidents that probably should have.
Yeah.
But because how much went on, they couldn't really... They shouldn't have singled out one person.
Okay, so do we think that Leeds did the right thing? Well, Bielsa did the right thing by letting Villa get the goal. I don't.
I don't personally.
It's weird because it's not something.
I want to say no, but yes.
I like what he did.
I think it's a bit no, but yes. No, he didn't have to, but the fact that he did do it is good.
But he's now scuppered the chance of then getting automatic promotion, which is stupid.
The thing is, though, like I've said, Villa already put the ball out for them, so I think they should have returned the same courtesy, to be honest.
Yeah.
Plot twist, he didn't want the 60 million for going up straight away. He wanted 120 million at Wembley, didn't he?
I mean,
plot twist.
I mean, that's just logic.
That's
so
smart. Yeah. Smart. He was thinking of his financial game.
There you go.
If we talk about promotion then, Who do you think will get the third place? So obviously we've got Sheffield United and Norwich are going up.
Leeds. So it's, what is it, Middlesbrough are close to taking sixth.
With Bristol City and Derby, that's the three teams.
If Bristol City bottle it tonight, then
that's it, they're done.
It's done.
I mean, as a local fan for Bristol City, I mean, I'd love to see it, but I don't see them doing it.
If they bottle it against Millwall tonight, it's done.
I think Leeds will go up. They've got the best team out of that remaining four.
Yeah.
If it's, because in my opinion, I think
West Brom.
Yeah, do you know what? I think I'd go West Brom as well.
West
I
mean, Brom over actually. over the in the playoffs, in the over the two legs, I reckon West Brom will get to the playoff final.
How does it work? Don't third play fifth and fourth play sixth?
Yeah,
Or so, second be fourth, isn't it?
No, it's 6-3 and 4-5.
I'm sorry.
So if we thinking NBA. If it stays like it is does now, yeah, it'd be Leeds and Derby.
It is like NBA. It is 3-6 versus 4-5.
Oh, okay.
So if it stays like it is,
I just got the wrong one.
So if it stays like it is, it's Leeds and Derby and West Brom and Villa.
Right, so the thing with Derby
West Brom
is,
and Villa, that's a local Derby, isn't it?
Derby,
exactly.
Derby
yeah.
have ruined
that's all Birmingham.
If Derby
yeah.
go up, Derby are stuffed because half their players are on loan. They've got like Wilson, Mount, Tomori, Bogle.
Well, they're not going to go up. So
but in, I mean, if they did, they got no players.
Big claims here from Costa.
Derby are known for bottling it when it comes to
that's
the
what I mean, though. If they do go up, they're stuffed because they won't have the players next season.
I don't reckon they will.
It'll be, what is it? So Leeds, I reckon it'll be a West Brom Leeds final and it'll probably end up going Pens.
Well, currently, Derby in sixth and Middlesbrough in seventh are both on the same points.
But Derby have a game in hand.
Bristol
City have a game in hand as well.
Yeah, they do, yeah. So but they're 4 points behind, though.
So if they win tonight, they're a point off of Middlesbrough and Derby, right?
Yeah.
And that will literally go down to the last game of the season.
But then Bristol City shot themselves in the foot when they lost against Derby on the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's still in their hands,
in a way. At one point, they were fourth.
I honestly reckon Villa have the best form. They won four in their last five.
Whoever wins Villa West Brom will go win the playoffs.
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah, I reckon so.
It'll be interesting nonetheless. So interesting.
I mean, it's nice to see though that Sheffield United are back up after 12 years.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Double promotion.
Proper Premier League teams are coming back up.
Northern team.
Good fact for you. Former Torquay United manager as a coach, assistant coach at Sheffield United.
Wasn't there another one? There's another team that's been promoted in a different league that also has an ex-Torquay manager.
Martin Ling at Leighton Orient. Back in League 2.
Look at that. Do you support Torquay?
All the facts.
Oh. Do you know what? I think I do. Oh,
sticking with Championship, couldn't tell, mate. The whole Bolton situation.
God, this has been going on for... Absolute it seems shambles. Like... years.
It's sad, I think.
It is.
It is upsetting.
It is sad.
It is pretty sad.
Bolton, come on. Like, they used to have Darren Pratley. Like, come on, mate.
What a legend. Quality.
Kevin Nolan.
Bolton used to be an okay Premier League side.
Yeah, like, Premier League.
Okay. They used to be good.
They used to have Juicy Jaskalainen in goal. They used to have, like, Kevin Nolan.
JJ Okocha,
man. Like,
I could be making this up, but nah, I think I'll admit.
Go on.
Gary Cahill. Did he ever use
that? Yeah. That's where the Chelsea came from.
Yeah, that's what, I thought.
Marcus
Alonso.
Marcus Alonso, yeah.
So they had some good players. It's just, but yeah. We haven't even mentioned why we're talking about Bolton, though.
Oh, yeah. Just Bolton.
Yeah, Bolton.
Team in 23rd. Oh, Bolton, yeah.
Yeah, Bolton have been in...
My local pub, Bolton.
Bolton have been in a lot of financial troubles of late. I mean, I think the whole reason why they were relegated from the Prem and then eventually the Championship was they went into administration or liquidation or something like that. They've gone back into administration, I think, earlier on this season, and their players haven't been paid since January.
Yeah,
and
absolute joke.
Apparently, they're going to be boycotting their last two games of the season, is it?
Yeah, supposedly. Yeah.
I mean, after their one on the weekend as well.
Yeah.
They boycotted Brentford.
I think so.
Yeah.
If I was in the position the Bolton footballers were in, I would not turn up. It's like work. If you went to work and didn't get paid, you wouldn't want to be there.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's going to be slightly different, isn't it? Because, like... If I turned up to my work and I didn't get paid, you would just make sure you end up getting paid, but you still have to go in.
Yeah.
So, like, I think they it's hard, isn't it?
Because it's difficult because you wouldn't, in other jobs, you wouldn't do it, but because it's that job, you can almost.
Yeah. Mm.
They've sort of got, like, their own sort of privilege there, in a way.
I don't know if there's been any attempts to, like, sell the club or anything like that, but they're in, they're in deep shit.
I mean,
sorry to interrupt, but we just got some breaking news over here.
Yeah.
Rudiger is set to miss the rest of the season.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Give Kressian a shout, though. He'll be back in, right?
Yeah.
Surely he'll start.
But with the Europa League in there and the race to the top for the top four, it's going to be interesting because he's solid. Because
Christensen
and David Luiz are known to be so similar. Maybe we should bring the Gazza Cahill in.
I would.
Yeah, I would love to see that.
Some experience.
I'd love to see that.
What's he actually doing at the moment? Just playing
on
the
bench.
He's warming up on the subs bench.
Oh, this
he's
is,
literally
sad,
a bench warmer.
I mean, he was a really good player for you in Conte's last season.
But anyway, back onto the Bolton thing. Anyway, I had to interrupt.
I mean, I'll just like to say, I saw Clayton Donaldson get interviewed on Sky Sports, and he posted up a photo on Instagram saying that he's actually been given supplies by sponsorships because he cannot afford to buy boots. He is sponsored by BW Boots UK, who are actually having to give him boots because he cannot afford it.
Right, I think we could spend a bit of time on this, so I think we'll move on to our Champions League preview.
Right, so what's it tonight? Tottenham Ajax.
Tottenham Ajax. Home.
I mean, my prediction will probably be a draw because Tottenham will probably play quite defensively because they've got quite a few key players out with the likes of Kane, Son and so on. So my prediction's going to be probably a 2-2 draw, I think.
I think both teams will score, but I think Ajax will come out on top.
You think?
First leg.
Yeah, I reckon.
Absolutely. Tottenham at home. On William Hill, 2-2.
Oh, yeah.
70 quid returns.
Oh, nice, man. Oh, my God.
Please gamble responsibly.
I mean... I see Ajax...
Cheers, Ray Winston.
I see Ajax taking it at home, but not at Coca-Cola Arena.
Oh, right, mate, so the Coca-Cola Arena.
Do you mean that by a draw or Tottenham?
It's the Champions League. We cannot use any business names. Sorry.
That's their stadium.
Other brands of Coca are available.
You can't use it in the Champions League. You've got to call it the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. It's a Champions League game,
right? Serious.
Yeah. Champions League
fair
game.
Fair play.
Wow. Jack, who do you think what do you think the result's going to be?
We don't want to get in trouble with...
What, over both legs? Or just for...
Say tonight and then the next leg. What do you think is going to happen?
I reckon Ajax could win.
So you think they...
I reckon it'll be like... I'm going to say 2-1.
3-1.
I say 3-1 as well, yeah.
Do you think they will go through to the final?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I reckon so.
Yeah.
I want Ajax to win it. The second leg is going to have a fairly amount of goals.
Okay, so we got that then. So tomorrow's Liverpool versus Barcelona at the Nou Camp.
No.
I just don't...
Costa, no.
However good Liverpool have been this season.
No!
I'll take the 0-0 at home and then getting battered at Anfield for 80 minutes, 1-0 down, and then having a Messi magic to go 1-0 and go through.
I mean, that's a big claim, but
tomorrow night,
fair enough.
Tomorrow night, first leg, 3-1 to Liverpool.
No.
And then second leg, 4-0.
I just
see that Barcelona defence able to handle that.
Yeah, but they've got...
But I don't see Liverpool scoring that many goals at the Nou Camp.
I mean, I can see them scoring, but I don't see them winning so convincingly.
No. As always, my heart says Liverpool, and my head says Barca, to be honest.
See, I think it's going to work out really weirdly. I think Barcelona would be quite nervous in the first leg tomorrow. I reckon it'll be a Liverpool 3-2 victory there, but then Barcelona will win at Anfield.
Yeah.
And I actually can't say who I think is going to go through. I mean, I want Liverpool just as a British fan. But I just can't put... I just think...
On paper, you can say it's Barcelona.
The form that Messi's in this season, I just don't see Liverpool getting through. I mean, there are other players, obviously, at Barcelona. Ter Stegen's had an outstanding season.
Happy birthday, Mark.
if you're listening, mate. Yeah. You know.
I reckon he's probably the best keeper in the world right now.
Yeah, that
he's been unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, and David De Gea.
Let's not get into that conversation.
Please don't.
When we were on about the PFA, Alisson was... People would say Alisson over Ederson. So Alisson's also...
It's going to be tricky.
Yeah,
it's
going to be interesting watch. Put it that way.
No, I'm looking forward to it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, 100%.
I think the final will be between Ajax and Liverpool.
I reckon.
And I see Ajax
I think it'd be Ajax Barcelona.
They have to win it this year because they won't get there another time because they're not going to keep their players over the summer.
No,
Tottenham Liverpool final.
Johan Cruyff.
I don't see that.
Well, you're going to say you're saying Barcelona.
I just
want to
say it.
I haven't seen it yet,
but I've said it.
Where's the final taking place this year?
Madrid.
That's why I think if Barcelona got there, they wouldn't win.
Where I have previously
mentioned
in this
They're not playing match. Madrid.
I got rejected for tickets.
Why not?
I just think they're so used to not having amazing games in that stadium that I think the environment will overwhelm them.
Right, so today, guys, we think Harrison's a bit loose.
Seriously.
We're a bit worried.
they play at the Nou Camp.
Harrison, what are you on, mate?
I think we've got Chris Sutton over here, you know.
We just said that the Madrid... Is that Madrid, the final?
Yeah.
I don't see Barcelona winning at the Madrid stadium.
Yeah, but they're not playing Madrid.
I know that.
Stadium.
It's not in the Bernabeu.
Why? Are they haunted by the Madrid ghosts or something?
It's the Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
You said Madrid.
Atletico
Madrid.
He said
yeah, but
Madrid.
Actually, when I was at Crufts, I spoke to Lionel Messi, and he was like, I really do not want to do this.
Fam, end this now.
Jesus, that was loud.
We've got a few bottlers.
Sorry, lads.
Liverpool fans.
I think we should end it on that, don't you think?
All right, guys. No. Thanks for watching.
thanks for watching, mate.
I prefer not to speak. If I speak, I'm in big trouble.
Oh dear.
I have nothing to say. Nothing to say.
This podcast has got absolute shit, though, hasn't it?
This is what we love.
We know who to blame anyway. It's
yeah,
fine.
Exactly.
Yeah, stuff you
Harrison. Well, we still had some good chats anyway about the PFA.
Yeah, I don't
stuff,
know what
so.
You're Clayton on, Donaldson. Harrison. I don't know what you're on, but yeah, you're on something.
Go on then, Jack. Should we wrap it up?
Yeah. Thank you all for listening to what has been an absolute shambles of a podcast.
Sorry, Jack.
Thank you.
No, it's fine. Don't apologise to
I'm
me.
Sure you. I'm sure you would have enjoyed it.
As many of you know, there was a football AGM yesterday where I want to congratulate Matt Callow for being the brand new club captain.
Oh, for
and
fuck's
where I also
sake.
Got a new role for the club where I'll be social media officer.
Oh. Hey.
Hey. And that's it for today.
Congrats, Matt Callow. Big shout out.
I'm going to watch this.
Thank you all for listening. See you in the next episode.